Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Go ahead and turn in your Bible to Daniel chapter 12. We'll have it up on the screen here as always. We've reached the final chapter of the book of Daniel, which is about the final chapter of humanity, of human life as we know it. If you were in Hawaii on January the 13th, 2018, at some point in that morning, you received this message right here on your phone. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Could you imagine seeing that? What would you have thought? What would have happened inside of your heart? Now, it turns out it was not a drill, but it was a colossal mistake that sent citizens scrambling to prepare for the end. One of the most shocking things as you read about this story is that it actually took the officials 38 minutes to send out another message clarifying that this had been a false alarm. 38 minutes. You know, that got me thinking, what happened in those 38 minutes? So I started to look up some of the stories. And as you would expect, people who were driving down the road and saw the text message pulled their cars off the roads and ran into the nearest building. Other people who were already in a building Googled what they should do in a nuclear attack and ran off and stood on the beach until they searched a little bit more and saw, oh no, we're supposed to be inside. And they ran back inside the building where they just came. Some stood outside and just looked up and kind of waited helplessly at the sky to what was going to be their certain end. One man had a heart attack after saying a tearful goodbye to his children. I read that another man was huddled in his bathroom with his little children praying. Another man was on the road and he had a decision to make. Do I go to this side of my family or that side of the family? Saddened because he didn't think he was going to be able to reach either side of his family. That's how some people spent their 38 minutes. Now, how will you spend yours? How will you spend the time that you have left here on the earth, knowing that all of this, all of it ends one day? This is a really remarkable story in the book of Daniel, because we get to peek at the end of the world. But what makes this most remarkable, I think, is how God tells Daniel he's supposed to respond to his last 38 minutes. God tells Daniel, look, Daniel, you don't have to spend the rest of your time running from here and there and then back again, or sitting in the tub with your children, your hands over your head, nor do you have to be so anxious that you have a heart attack. God's words are this to Daniel: as for you, go your way till the end. Go your way till the end. Live your life normally. Eugene Peterson in The Message transliterates what that means, and he's exactly right. It means go about your business without fretting or worrying. Relax. Live your life. Rest. Now, I don't know, but I doubt very many people spent their 38 minutes in Hawaii that way. Relax. Rest. Live your life. But that's what God has called us to do. That's how you and I are courageously called to live as people who are trusting in Christ. And to talk about that, we're going to have to do two things this morning, which is your outline. We're going to have to cut through the confusion to the clear conclusion as we know it. So let's go ahead and jump in and read Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up the seal, the words of the scroll, until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase in knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times and a half time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and the seal until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of your days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you give us good internet connection here. You would remove all the distractions, my distractions, and those who are with us online, whenever they're watching this or right now, that we would see the good news of this passage, that indeed Jesus is one worthy of our rest, our trust in the midst of trials. I pray this in his name. Amen. One of the first things that Baxley and I told you when we introduced this topic of apocalyptic literature was that we need to hold on to our interpretations with humble hands, because there's a lot that we just don't know. This passage on the end times in Daniel chapter 12 actually reminds me a lot of this picture here. I use this picture, I've shown it to some of you, but I use it whenever I talk to little kids about the final chapter of God's big story, the end times. Because when I look at this picture, I have a lot of questions. And I'm guessing you probably do too. Like, for example, why in the world are they in the bathtub? And is that a sheep or a dog? And why is that woman, presumably a mom, holding a gun and a baby with a peace sign on her sweatpants there? And the last time I used this image, actually a little kid pointed this out to me. I'd never seen it before. But if you look really closely there, that baby's finger, it's on the trigger. And so I just have so many questions as I look at that picture. And I'm guessing you feel the same way as you look at Daniel chapter 12. Here are some common questions, some of which we have actually already talked about. Who is it that is speaking to Daniel? Is this pre-incarnate Jesus? Is it an angel? Is it a mixture of angels here and Jesus here speaking at different times? Who is Michael fighting in verse 1. Is this the Antichrist that we mentioned last week? Oh, and about the Antichrist, who is that? Is it just one person that's coming in the future that's a lot like Antiochus Epiphanes, but a lot worse? Or is it a number of people, rulers, who embody the spirit of the Antichrist? And what is the time of distress all about that you see there in verse 1? This time of tribulation, is this the time of tribulations that Revelation chapter 12 mentions? And since we're talking about that, will God's people be delivered before or during or after the tribulations? What does it mean in verse 7 that God's people's power will be broken? When is that supposed to take place? What is that going to be like? More questions. Who are the two others mentioned in verse 5 who are dialoguing with this mysterious man wearing linen hovering above the waters? What about the time frame in all of this? The response of the man in linen, that this is going to happen in a time, times, and a half time. Does that correspond with the 3.5 years that we learned about in chapter 7? And what is the meaning exactly of that 3.5 years? Does that correspond with the 1,290 days that you see in verse 12? Or to the 1,335 days? What's the difference of 5 days there? Are we supposed to assume, since in Daniel, judgment comes in multiples of 7, that half of judgment has been poured out already in the past, and that half of it is to come? What's going on here, and how much does the book of Revelation have to do with this as it introduces topics like the millennium, the tribulation, and so on? So are you with me? Do you have some questions? Can we cut through the confusion? I do want to show you that there's actually some comfort in these questions. First of all, we're not the only ones who are confused. Look over there at verse 6. One of the angels is speaking to the man in linen and basically says something like, wow, that's really incredible. What's going to happen? When exactly? So there's at least some confusion or lack of clarity amongst heavenly beings. Daniel is also confused. You see there in verse 8 what Daniel says. He says something like, I say a lot when I'm speaking Spanish in a context that I don't understand. I'll say something like, okay, I understood all of the words that you just said. I just have no idea how they fit together and what it is you're trying to communicate to me. So we're not the only ones who are confused, but there's even more comfort. Baxley and I have a professor, or had a professor in seminary, who had, I thought, a very handy diagram to explain moments just like this. He said, look, here's where God lives, and here's where we live, and, well, here is the line that divides God's realm as our creator and our realm as creatures. And some questions are just above the line. So we could include a lot of questions like we have in Daniel chapter 12 that are just above their line. They're not things that we are meant to know. There are other questions we have like, where does evil come from? Or what is the interplay between God's sovereignty and human responsibility? Or who is it exactly that belonged to God's people that he's going to say? These are things that we simply don't know because we live down here in the realm of mankind and God lives up here in the realm of where God is, right? There's actually some really good news in a diagram like this and in this reality. First of all, you and I are creatures. God is the creator. There are some things that we are just not meant to understand, okay? We're just not going to get them. And we don't need to feel the pressure of being divine and trying to understand everything. We can rest in the fact that we are creatures and he is creator. Second piece of good news here. God is gracious. And he hasn't left us to just feel around in the dark and figure things out. Rather, he's made certain things known to us. He's brought them down into the realm of mankind through the Bible, through chapters like this, where we can understand certain things. We're not just left to try to figure out how God wants us to live. He's told us these things, or how to relate to God, or what the way of salvation is. He's gracious, and he's told us what we need to know for all matters of faith and life. And the third thing that is so beautiful about this distinction between creator and creature is that it shows us the radical nature of the gospel, namely that God, being creator through Jesus Christ, came, the eternal word came and made his dwelling among us so that we could know him, so that we could experience his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, who is full of grace and truth. Those are things that are coming down from above, so that he could save us and so that we could know God and enter into his family and eventually spend eternity with God. There's good news there. What's the natural implication of this distinction between creator and creature? Well, if you don't understand some stuff, that's okay. That's actually all right. Daniel actually is called to just go about his life living as a creature who is trusting in the creator. Look at the answer that he gets. In verse 9, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. There are things that you're just not going to know, Daniel, and it's okay. Live your life as a creature trusting, a creator trusting creature, rather. And the sealing of the words that God is talking about here, he's not talking about hiding something. This is actually language that you would use if you wanted to protect the final word against human manipulation or human addition, which is interesting because sometimes when we don't know things, we end up twisting the truth to try and understand them. There are some things, the point is, that we just aren't meant to understand. So now that we've cut through the confusion, let's talk about the clear conclusion to all of this. There are some things that we are meant to know. There are some things that when we learn them, we're supposed to shape our lives according to them and allow them to impact us. And here's what we can know for sure about the conclusion of life as we know it here on earth. Three things: deliverance, resurrection, and judgment. First comes deliverance. All right, deliverance from what exactly? Well, from distress, from trial, from tribulation that's mentioned there in verse 1. And we don't exactly know the time reference point here. We believe it's in the future. We don't exactly know what is going to happen. But it's to say that God delivers his people from the big trials and from the little trials. And that there's a war going on. A battle between God's army and Satan's army. And in particular, we're supposed to have in mind here Michael, one of God's warrior angels that has come to fight, we believe, against this Antiochus Epiphanes figure, this Antichrist who is to come in the future. So there's the big trial, but also there are little trials that we're delivered from. And think about the life of Daniel. At this point in the book of Daniel, Daniel is over 90 years old. He's an old man. Many of God's people have returned back to Israel when the Persians came in, but Daniel has been left behind. And from a human perspective, this would be really disappointing. In fact, we would look at Daniel's life and say, what a sad, disappointing end. Daniel, who is far from home, stays far from home and dies under the rule of the Persians. He's forever in exile and never goes back home. But this deliverance, well, this deliverance is about more than just the little trials of life. And it's more than just deliverance from people like Antiochus Epiphanes. This is about deliverance that is eternal in nature, that is everlasting in nature. And at this point, it's clear that God is speaking about eternal things, about the afterlife, about the end times. And this is the clearest picture we have in all of the Old Testament of what that's going to be like. In the end, when all this ends, there is a final deliverance that comes for people like Daniel and for all whose names are found written in the book which contains the names of the citizens of God's people. We're delivered. What are we delivered to? Resurrection. Resurrection life. Look at verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth, multitudes who are dead and buried and forgotten by society, aren't forgotten by their God. Rather, he raises the dead. He raises the dead to physical life. This means that when your life right now ends, your physical life is not over forever. Rather, there is a physical resurrection life ahead of you, which we learn more in the Bible is free of sickness and sadness, pain, and death. If you're one of God's people, it's everlasting life in duration and also in quality. It's life upon life upon life upon life, just human flourishing life everywhere you look. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, all of humanity will be raised from the dead. But did you notice what else you see there in verse 2? Every human is raised from the dead, but resurrection is not good news for every human, because some are raised to life upon life, while others are raised to an endless, everlasting cycle of shame, contempt, shame, contempt, shame, and contempt. And it's sad. That cycle is sad here on earth now. Think about it in an everlasting way. Who is it? Well, in particular, the passage clarifies it's those who are not wise, those who are wise in their own eyes, who are going after their own kind of knowledge. They are the wicked. And they continue, according to verse 10, in their wickedness. In other words, they get what they deserve. And that's the way divine judgment works. When the righteous face trials, we're refined. When the wicked face trials, they're exposed as the wicked people they are, and they get what they deserve. This is divine judgment. It's not easy to talk about. And I know you probably have a lot more questions about the things we brought up here. And that's okay. I've got good news for you, actually. Starting with divine judgment, next week, we are going to do our Christmas sermon series in the last couple chapters of the book of Revelation to talk about the second coming of Jesus, where we go into a little more detail about some of the topics that I've mentioned to you this morning. So stay tuned for next week. But for now, I want to go ahead and finish with one question. All of us just got the text message, okay? That's the purpose of this. The end is coming. The end is near. This is not a drill. We all die. This all goes away and we will be raised. Some of us to everlasting life and some of us to everlasting shame and contempt. And as big and as scary and as confusing as all this is, what does God tell Daniel in verse 13 again? As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. So Daniel, with the proverbial 38 minutes that you have left, live your life courageously in the midst of the big trial and the little trials. Don't panic. Don't try and understand every little detail. Don't try and pretend like it's not happening and escape through stuff or substance or entertainment. Live a robust life and rest in God's solution. And my question that I want to finish with is why? Why should you and I do that? Why would Daniel, since there is so much that he doesn't know, that he can't control, that he won't experience as he spends the rest of his 38 minutes living in Persia, why is he called to just live and rest? I want to share a story that Brian Chappell shared. He's driving down the road and he hears this story on the radio when a woman calls in. She explained that how when she was a little girl, she and her siblings used to receive a magazine that was written by missionary kids whose families were serving overseas. Every month they would get this magazine and they would read through it and they would all choose their favorite story in the magazine. And they would commit for that month to praying for the missionary kid who had written that story for a month. Well, one month there's a story that's written by a little boy, and with the story that he had written was a picture of him and his pet monkey. And of course, that was their favorite, right? I mean, what little kid doesn't want to have a pet monkey? So they started to pray for that little boy. And this little girl felt so compelled by his story that he was constantly brought to mind. And she was constantly praying for him, even after the month was over. Years and years, even into adulthood, every time that little boy and his pet monkey were brought to mind, she prayed for him. Now, flash forward decades ahead to when she is an adult and she's sitting in her mom's loft after her mom had died, and she's going through her mom's stuff, and she comes across the box containing all the magazines. And sure enough, as she sits there with her husband of 17 years, she picks up the magazine with the little boy and the monkey, and she puts it in the throwaway pile. And as she's doing that, her husband stops her and says, "Wait, don't throw that out. That's my magazine." She says, "What are you talking about?" He explained, "When my parents were missionaries, I wrote a story for that magazine. And they put my picture with it, that picture with my pet monkey." Of course, she screamed and she cried and she hugged and she told him the story and how she had been praying for the person she didn't know was her husband for decades. And I just want you to think about the future impact of that moment on them. They're married. There were many trials in their marriage and their family. How do you think that changed their ability to trust in God as they faced future trials? The God who had written their story so beautifully, so mysteriously, so lovingly. He was the same God who was going to lovingly guide their story into the future, enabling them to live courageously no matter what the trial they faced. Look in the past. Look at the book of Daniel. What have we just learned? God has lovingly guided human history, delivering his people from Babylon and from Persia and from Antiochus Epiphanes. And those were really bad enemies. But you and I as Christians living on this side of the first century, we can look back to what? To Jesus on the cross, who was facing much more severe enemies, our sin, death and decay. And on the cross and through the tomb, he delivered us from those things. He has lovingly guided the past. And this same God will lovingly guide the future and deliver you from whatever trial you face in the future. That's why we can live and we can rest. And one day, if you're trusting in Christ, then you will receive your allotted inheritance. This is not a drill. The end is, in fact, near. seek immediate shelter in Jesus Christ and live your life courageously, following him all the way to the end. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this book of Daniel. Thanks for all that you've taught us through your Holy Spirit. Would you now compel us to trust in you, to rest in you? We don't have to be the heroes of our own stories because you are. Enable us to be a people who live that way, courageously following you all the way to the end. This we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.